You are listening to the Massive Report Podcast, your complete source of information, news, and analysis of your awesome town crew.
Open wide for some soccer!
You're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened to then?
We passed then.
When?
Just now. We're at now now.
Go back to then.
When?
Now.
Now?
Now.
I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just now.
When will then be now?
Soon.
This club, and any sports franchise for that matter, should be a sacred community asset. That is how we're going to treat the crew. Our goal will be to take the crew to be one of the standard bearers in the league.
And look at the lower deck there. The crew faithful, ever so loud. Yeah, buddy!
Previously on the Massive Report.
I heard something a little earlier that I like the idea of 2-1 to LA. I like that idea.
2-1 Seattle would,
yeah. 2-1. Yeah, 2-1 yeah. Seattle, yeah.
2-1 Seattle.
Alex.
I think 2-0 LA.
All right. Greg,
I said it yesterday. I'm going 2-1, 2-1 to 2-1 to Sounders.
That'd be hilarious. However, I think it's going to end up 0-0. That's what I think. I think that
also
the match that Don Garber's put all of his eggs in his basket for.
Ah, memories. We're so much younger then.
Welcome to the show, Justin Bell. Winning the prize.
Actually, I literally did not hear any of that.
You didn't?
No.
Oh, that was just you predicting last week. 2-1.
It was actually Mr. Benson.
It was great.
Predicted the week before.
The week before. Yeah.
It's true.
Well, I refuse to acknowledge that Greg got something right. So here's Justin, great job.
Here's the funny thing. While walking here tonight to Hen Docks, I had three people stop me in the street and look at me all misty eyed and go, "Are you a wizard?" It's true. I am, actually.
Was it because you were just wearing a bathrobe?
That's exactly the reason.
It makes sense. It makes sense.
That's when I realized I needed to go back inside and change.
Yeah.
And that's why we started late tonight.
Yeah.
You're looking very sporty tonight, sir.
Thank you. I'm...
Court date?
Yeah, that's exactly... closer to the truth than you want to know. No, yeah.
Okay, well, it's the Massive Report. Welcome to it. My name is Matt Goschert, joined this week by Sam Fahmy, who is viciously eating some crab rangoon. He is angry at that crab rangoon. Justin Bell is here. Alex Stanek is here. Greg Benson is here. And we got some playoffs to talk about. New England and Los Angeles advance, which is actually, did you know that's Spanish for those angles?
Did not know that.
Yeah. It's just FYI. I was just wanted to make sure you guys were aware of that. Justin, that's true. I looked it up. I had Victoria Beckman translate for me.
I don't believe you.
It's true.
It says it on Wikipedia, Justin.
It does. Also, I do want to start out the show by saying a very happy birthday to a friend of the show and wife of Nate Beckman, Victoria Beckman. The better of the two Beckmans. I think everyone would agree with that. So happy birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Vic. So let's get into this, guys. First of all, we'll start in the East, and we're going to talk about that first. We'll start with you, Alex. New England ends up advancing, beating the Red Bulls, and going on to the Major League Soccer Cup. What do you think?
I think it sucks. I hate them. I mean, they played a good game. I think it's sad, especially given Thierry Henry announcing that he will not be back next season. I think I would have liked to see Henry and Donovan fight it out in their last matches for the MLS Cup. So the fact that that got taken from us by a horrible New England side that dives all over the place was disappointing, but congratulations to them anyway.
Well, the one thing that's nice is that since they aren't going to be booked at MLS Cup, Vince McMahon has booked them for WrestleMania.
Oh, that's
so
fantastic.
Yeah, Henry Donovan is going to be
against, like, the Undertaker, and
no, they're not tagging together.
Oh, okay.
It's Henry and Kurt Angle against The Undertaker and Landon Donovan.
I don't know who Kurt Angle is, but...
Yeah.
But
he doesn't. I don't.
To Los Angeles.
He's from.
He's from Los Angeles.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, he's named after Los Angeles.
It's all making sense.
Yes,
now. Okay.
Those angles.
I get it.
His entire family.
Justin had to clarify it because Matt was being obtuse.
I'm always that way. Justin, your thoughts on New England, New York?
Well, I'm watching right now Robert and Jonathan Kraft's video.
Uh huh.
Where they're breaking the news to them that they own a team. They seem very happy about it. Say soccer has grown a lot in the last 10 years or so since they last thought that they owned a team.
Uh-huh. Did they do this inside their large processed American cheese factory?
Yeah, it's there you go. That's them.
Oh, wow.
Does that explain why Tom Brady was yelling F a lot yesterday?
I don't know who that
he
is.
He was just yelling F?
They got on camera multiple times.
Is that that crazy guy that stands at the corner of Hudson and High?
Yes. He wears number 12.
Okay. Okay. Cool. That's. No, that's Wayne Brady. I'm sorry. Those are two different people.
Tom Brady was in the mood to choke a bitch yesterday, for what it's worth.
No, but I thought the game was good.
Mm-hmm.
For two games being played on artificial turf, I thought they were both entertaining. Mm-hmm. And for two games where I didn't really care who won, I was entertained. I thought I agree with Alex. I think that the fact that Thierry Henry didn't win, I think, is a shame.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him play one more time.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was the best player on the field, I thought, yesterday. Maybe we'll get into this in a second when we talk about the second game, but the officiating is just so horrible. I know we say this every week, but one of the things that I've noticed about the playoffs is that the teams don't play like they do during the season.
Yeah.
And I don't think, of course they say that there's different stakes and different things are on the line, and so that changes things. But I think a lot of it is the fact that the referees are just so unwilling to do their job. And there were many times during the game when it looked like New England understood that they were not going to be carded.
Yeah.
They were not going to be reprimanded or penalized in any sort of way. And it seemed like almost on a minute, every minute of the match, there was a New England player who was putting their knee in the back of a New York player.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you saw Seattle play LA, there's the same thing happened. Seattle just attacking the New York, the LA players when they would get possession. I think that's an effect of the referee being poor, but I think it's also an effect of having that home field advantage of playing on turf. They know that if you can't control the ball as you do normally on an artificial surface, when you put pressure on somebody or when you attack them, they're going to lose.
Yeah.
And so the midfield almost becomes a place where just teams are just going to turn the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so teams that play well sort of skip the midfield.
Mm-hmm.
And inevitably the game turns into this, long ball after long ball, route one soccer that just is not very good.
Yeah.
And it's not the way that these teams are playing. It's not the way that we hope that Americans learn how to play soccer going into the future.
It's not even the way they got there.
No, right. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And it's an effect of playoffs.
Yeah.
And it's also an effect of away goals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an effect of the refereeing. And so, everyone was saying how entertaining these games were. Yeah, they were entertaining, but it wasn't good soccer. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was good soccer. No.
Well, you look at especially just touching on the refereeing, there were zero red cards issued in any of the four semifinal matches.
Right.
Or the conference finals, however you want to call it.
New England ended each one of their games with 11 players.
Yeah.
The way that they played, there's no way that should have happened.
Yeah.
Players should have been sent off. Gonzalez should have been sent off in the first leg against us.
Yeah.
AJ Soares probably should have been sent off in the first leg against New York.
Mm-hmm.
I look, it's easy to say that there's a fix that's in. I don't think there's a fix. I just think it's blatant incompetence by the officiating.
Yeah.
And
no, there's a fix. If there was a fix that was in, it would be New England Seattle in the final. Probably. I mean, you know, and it would, because the match would be played in Seattle and they'd be able to sell a crap load more tickets for the match.
But I think that the end of this is all that, you know, like I said, Thierry Henry not playing anymore is sad.
And it is. Yeah.
But it's also good to see him not. Maybe he can go play someplace where they actually play soccer and towards the end of the year where it's worthwhile. Maybe he does. Maybe he goes and he plays in England one more year for Arsenal, or who knows. Maybe he goes and plays. Did he?
I think he's off to Arsenal.
Maybe he does it because he can. He's still, in my opinion, he's the best player in the league. That's hard to say for someone who's 37 now?
Yeah. Well, except for Eric Gehrig.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Except for Eric Gehrig. But he plays the best soccer, and he's smart, and he knows what he's doing, and it'd be good to see him keep going.
Deja, if you actually listened to the show while you were here instead of chatting with Peanut Gallery, you would have heard the comment. So, Greg, your thoughts?
Real quick, because I know we got another game to talk about. It's disappointing for me on a couple levels. I was kind of sort of rooting for New York for a couple reasons. First of all, because my whole narrative this year about the whole Tim Cahill thing, I would love to have been able to say, yeah, I went to school with a guy who actually played in and possibly won an MLS Cup final. That would be
He
cool.
almost had an amazing... He had a really good opportunity in that
He game. Did, and that was the next thing I was going to get to, is that this game was far from being over for most of it. I mean, New York were a couple of good shots away from winning this thing on away goals or just winning the thing on outright aggregate.
No.
Cahill missed a good chance. I mean, he did get one, but there were a couple of chances that New York had and didn't take it. It didn't feel to me like, you talk about a fix not being in, this was less of a fix and more like incompetence with an agenda, I think is the best way that I can put it.
That's actually the name of Alex's new hip-hop band. Incompetence with an agenda.
But it's
don't tell anyone.
It's disappointing to see Henry play his final MLS game on that field.
Yeah.
It's disappointing. I don't have a problem
It's honestly disappointing to see anyone play any MLS game on that field.
Right. When World Cups have to mandate that every stadium has to have the same surface.
Unless they're women.
Well, no, that I mean, that's the reason they're playing on turf in the first place. They said all of them have to be the same, so I don't know. But
it's going to be weird
that a league trying to be relevant and trying to elevate itself among the best leagues in the world and trying to get Jurgen Klinsmann to take it seriously will not have, you know, a proper surface for games. And I didn't want to point this out. I didn't want this low-hanging fruit. But the fields were terrible. I mentioned last night that I love that ESPN tried so hard to use like a color filter or whatever it was on their broadcast to make the field look extra green, and all it did was made all the players look super orange. I didn't know if I was watching the game or Jersey Shore.
Well, the one thing that's nice about, you know, the World Cup mandating that all the teams play on the same surface is that the 2019 Women's World Cup is going to be played exclusively on hot lava. So that's gonna be fantastic. It'll cut down on the knee injuries.
Cut down on the knees.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about Seattle and Los Angeles. We'll start with Greg because we ended with Greg.
Right. We watched this match together. Uh-huh. You and I and a few other closest friends. Yes, I was. I know. I know the tallest guy doesn't get noticed. And I am taller than you, by the way. it was, score predictions aside, and I am going to bang on about that a little bit because, you know, sometimes again the storyline, the script, sometimes it comes true. Sometimes it's better than what they could come up with. Aside from all of the other games, this felt like a game last night where the players made more of a difference. There weren't any real questionable refereeing calls that I saw. There were a couple of things that you thought maybe somebody could get a card for it. I didn't like Clint Dempsey thinking it was his place to go and put his arm around the referee, but whatever. You knew he wasn't going to get carded for it because Clint Dempsey, regardless of the result, he's not getting sent off in a conference final. But it was actually kind of entertaining to follow along with the story and to watch the Seattle fans, several of whom had no idea about the away goal, obviously, because when LA came back and got that goal, made it 2-1, they're still singing like they're winning, not realizing maybe the gravity of the situation here.
Mm-hmm.
I get that you want to cheer and support your team, but they're singing things like the Sounders are up. And I'm like, if it stays this way, no, you're not. And it just, there was so much of that. This is why Seattle fans cannot have nice things, because of just the way that this stuff went on yesterday. It was entertaining, and the shot from Janino that put the Galaxy through.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, that was a nice shot.
I mean, this thing wasn't a questionable penalty. It wasn't something that the referee had a say in. This was the only shot that could have beaten Stefan Fry all night, because Stefan Fry was great.
Yeah, he did play a hell of a game.
Yeah,
he did. I agree.
Pinpoint accurate in off the post. Just yeah.
Yeah, Justin, your thoughts? Seattle, LA.
Well, I'm watching right now a video.
Justin does his show prep during the show.
I'm watching a video called "Born in 1974." And I'm just going to...
Is that seriously the title of the video?
Yeah, it's called... It's actually something that was put out a couple weeks ago that MLS has been kind of hammering home about how great everything is in Seattle and why we should all be like them. And it's MLS, which was sort of founded in 1994. Not really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The idea was...
By a threat from FIFA. Let's make sure... Let's
make a promise.
Let's make sure we understand that. And
forgotten by so many people.
The first highlight on their video of yesterday's match against LA is "Born in 1974, the faces of Seattle versus LA."
Oh, for the love of crap!
I would like to swear right now.
Go for it.
It's the fight and win guy who goes to Europe in the summer.
Because I figured out a new league.
Oh, okay, cool. But basically, fuck Seattle is what I want to say. No, look, the only team that's basically the only stake that I felt like I had in this game was that I just wanted them to lose. Not the players, just their fans, because they're that bad. And but in the game, I thought there were a few questionable officiating calls. One of which was when Obafemi Martins literally tackled one of the LA center backs. I think it might have been Omar Gonzalez.
Yeah.
It might have been Omar Gonzalez. I can't remember. But he tackled him.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to the goal that Brad Evans scored. There were a few other... I mean, Obafemi Martins got away with a lot. Clint Dempsey got away with more.
Marco Papa's elbow
to Robbie Rogers, yeah.
Yeah, that was, I mean, that was, you know, you could say that was incidental, but still, I mean, if that's a crew player, he gets a yellow card.
Mm-hmm.
And both of the yellow cards in that game went to LA players.
Yeah.
I thought Landon Donovan was invisible. I thought it was probably one of his, look, the reason why Landon Donovan didn't get picked for the World Cup was because he sucked at the beginning of this year. He sucked. Let's just say, I mean, everyone kind of wants to gloss over this, but he sucked. And he looked like he did. In the first half of last night's game, he looked like he did at the beginning of the year.
I agree. I was not 100% sure that Landon Donovan was playing the game.
No, he was nowhere to be seen.
Yeah.
He had one good run in like the 80-something odd minute.
Well, yeah, 80-something odd minute. Yeah,
right. He did assist
on
the goal.
But we're talking about the beginning of the match.
Yeah, the first half of the match.
Yeah.
The first half of the match, he was completely invisible. Yeah. And I thought to myself, look, This is why I have problems with Landon Donovan as a player. He's very good.
Yeah.
But there are times when you can see it, it's about him. It's not about his team. In a game like that, if you have any kind of, if you're a veteran who's played as long as Landon Donovan, you understand your circumstance. And your circumstance is this. This is your last game. You are the face of this league. No one wants... There's no way in hell you are going to get tossed from this game. None.
Yeah.
And he's invisible. And he's playing against a team that is beating the crap out of his teammates.
Yeah.
Like I said, every time LA would get a ball in the midfield, Seattle would put their knee in the small of the back of the LA player.
Yeah.
and Landon Donovan was too busy to whatever is in that man's head, he wasn't gonna hit back.
Yeah.
When that was exactly what he needed to do, he needed to go out the first minute of the second half and just kick Clint Dempsey. Just kick him.
Yeah.
The minute Clint Dempsey gets a ball anywhere around you, just kick you, kick him, and put him on the ground.
Yep.
And if you get a yellow card, then we'll all be surprised. But you're not going to get a yellow card because you're Landon Donovan playing in your last match.
Yeah.
He could have actually taken someone's head off, and he may have gotten a yellow card in that game.
He literally ripped his head off.
Sort of like the opening scene of The Last Boy Scout, could have just pulled a gun out, bang.
Kind of. But see, these are things that like a player like Guillermo Barros Schelotto would do.
Yeah.
Or, you know, players who are good. I think Thierry Henry knows when to do something like that.
Yeah.
David Beckham sure as hell knew when to do stuff like that. He did that everywhere he went.
Yep.
He was a lot tougher than people thought. Mm-hmm. Clint Dempsey does stuff like that. Why? Yep. You know, that's what his team needed.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I thought Robbie Rogers played a hell of a game.
He did. Mm-hmm. He did. Robbie played very well.
I thought Chad Marshall played a really good game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Brad Evans played a pretty good game. Other than that, I can't think of any other crew players who...
Do any of those guys have anything in common? I'm seeing a pattern forming here.
Brad Evans had a very Magnum PI mustache.
Yeah.
Siggy Schmidt did an awesome job eating that hot dog at halftime.
But again, at the end of the game, it devolved into long ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, Seattle knew that they were down. They needed to score a goal. Long ball. Or, LA knew that they just needed to clear it. Long ball.
Yep.
Siggy ball almost, except the opposite. No.
The last few minutes were, I think Ian Dark uses the phrase a lot, anywhere will do.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I even said it out loud having watched that many games.
Yeah. Another moment, too. I don't know. I'm probably way past my time, but whatever.
That's okay.
This isn't a debate.
Yeah.
Since when do we run on a schedule here?
I try to. I have a running clock in my head. I try to. But there was a moment, too, talking about the field, the surface. Mm-hmm. Robbie Keane, again, is, I thought, the MVP of this season. I thought he was the best overall, the most valuable player to mm-hmm. his team. There was a moment where he had space, taking the ball, possessing it down along the left side to the touchline, and he lost control of the ball in a very awkward way that was kind of laughable. And the Seattle fans laughed. Yeah. Like, en masse, they laughed at him. This is a player who has more experience than probably anybody else in the league right now.
Yeah, yeah.
International, professional, played for Liverpool, played for Tottenham. I mean, played for some big teams.
Played six games for Aston Villa, I think it was.
Did he?
Maybe.
It was the old joke. There was an old train advertisement I remember reading about, like, how this train gets you faster from Liverpool to London than Robbie Keane.
Than Robbie Rogers.
Because like he got traded to Liverpool and then he immediately got sent back to Tottenham because he sucked.
Yeah.
But anyway, he looked very
Robbie Keane.
He looked very
It's like Daisha wants to have a conversation with us but doesn't realize that we're having a conversation with a bunch of people.
I said Liverpool,
yeah.
Didn't I?
Yeah.
It's like the trigger word. Like,
yeah. Right, it is. It's like waving a red shirt in front of you.
What if I'll join in?
What if I said Flipperpool? Did she say that?
Flipperpool?
No, she didn't. Yeah, it didn't work.
All right.
But anyway, he lost possession and they laughed and I was like, you know, that's where we're playing right now.
Yeah.
And it's good to see that a lot of the people who are, the Canosarati of MLS are now complaining about it.
Yeah.
They're now saying, you can't do this. You can't. So what? You have 50,000 people in the stands. You can't play a championship game on this kind of surface anymore. Yeah. It's just not working.
Good.
You know what's the biggest upside to LA winning yesterday? The MLS final gets played on natural grass.
That was my first thought.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
It's
saved MLS Cup. Basically.
Alex, yeah. as we haven't had a chance to go to you yet, I want to get your thoughts on LA Seattle.
Well, I first want to give a congratulations to the Seattle grounds crew who... I don't know what they did, if they scraped it or what, but they like faked lines in the turf, so it looked like they cut it like weird. But
it's a Zamboni.
It's a Zamboni.
It's a grass Zamboni.
They ran the Kirby over it in perpendicular.
Well done. You have a two-tone plastic pitch. Well done. Pat on the back from Drew Carey for that one. Fantastic. But no, seriously, I really wanted LA to win. I hate Seattle fans. Robbie Rogers was down with a head injury, and they were chanting, "Let him die." Yeah. Which is the kind of stuff that you get in Seattle because their fans are morons.
But don't make a Kurt Cobain joke, or else people will get really upset.
Well, that's offensive.
It is offensive. I agree. But no,
Rogers die because he's got a head injury and he plays for the other team.
Yeah.
And don't get medical staff on for that because that's ridiculous. Just let him die on the pitch.
I'm just saying, like Chicago made the Kurt Cobain joke and the Seattle fans about dying. That happened over, you know, like 15 years ago, more than 15 years ago at this point. 20 years ago. God, I feel
too soon.
Old now. Yeah. But Jay can yell, "Let him die," at somebody who's actually not dead, and it's totally fine.
Seattle fans are ridiculous, and my fear going into this match was that if they got past LA, I think that they could have beaten New England, and I would have heard about the treble until the day I died. They would have reminded everyone about it on a weekly basis for 50 plus years. That I'm so glad is not the case now. And, you know, bullet dodged. Thank you, Landon Donovan. Hashtag thanks, LD.
Okay, one more question for you. And this is a serious question that you guys are all going to think is facetious, but I'm asking this seriously. Is Siggy Schmidt on the hot seat?
No.
No.
He won the double. There's no way. They would have to be so stupid.
But who are we talking about?
They are not.
They made the playoffs last year, and Siggy Schmidt was on the hot seat.
But that's because they really underperformed. I think they did well enough this year. They won.
Justin's with me that it's a legitimate question.
I think it's a question.
It's a question. I'm Glenn Beck. I'm just asking questions over here. I'm just asking questions.
I don't think it's going to happen unless he wants to leave.
I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm saying
that
I'm just asking the question.
There was a moment where he looked kind of tired last night. I think it's a big deal. Look, here's what I think. I think that team will put pressure on him just to make it seem like they're bigger than they are.
Yeah.
And that's... he shouldn't be fired. He's a good coach. He really is.
I didn't
I feel like he kind of is. And I think that if you were to ask people in Seattle, they'd probably say, well, that's part of the job. Like, it's a big, important job. You know what I mean? When it's really not.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you're just the coach of the Seattle Sounders, who have been around since 2009.
1974, Justin.
Yeah, in 2009.
How dare you, Justin? Dare you?
But, I mean, it is weird to see him and Brad Evans and Chad Marshall on the same team and not root for them.
Yeah. Mm.
And why? You know, I ask myself...
Is Eazy-E still on the coaching staff, too?
No.
Ezra?
He was.
He was.
He was for... I want to say maybe he left in 2012.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
I honestly wasn't.
Yeah. Ezra Hendrickson's one of the class guys. I don't even know
where
he is. I've lost track of him. That makes me sad.
We should Google that during
during
the break.
Just try and get him on.
But the other thing too, I mean, I know we talked about this, but Robbie Rogers really is very good.
He is.
There was a moment where he was being kind of, it was him versus Obafemi Martins, I think, in the box towards the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And he totally just dispossessed him like a total pro.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, wow, why could we not have that guy on our team playing left back? Like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, it would make such an enormous difference to have a player like that on your team.
Right.
But I really, if he's going to, that's a team that I hope wins because of him. I hope that they win.
All right. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about this. Lots more stuff to talk about. This is the Massive Report.
Western boy on his own. She Moon over Parma, bring my love to me tonight. Guide her to East Lake underneath your silvery light. We met at Ashtabula, she was doing the hula. I handed her my radishes and pledged my love that night. Moon over Parma, won't you bring my love to me? Shine on the freeway and guide her AMC. Get her past those radar mounties, bring her to Lake County. Moon over Parma tonight. Moon over Parma, shine on I-271. We can't get together in the warm light of the sun. I'm asking you, don't fail, get her safely through Lindale. I can't go to Parma, cause my Edsel will not run. Moon over Parma, where those pink flamingos stand. I need her kisses and the soft touch of her hand. We're going bowling, so don't lose her in Solon. Moon over Parma tonight, I said tonight. Moon over Parma tonight. Moon over Parma. Hey!
Moon over Parma.
One more time.
Moon over Parma tonight.
And we're back, segment two of the Massive Report. Coming back, talking a lot of different things with a lot of noise in the background. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate that. Thanks, Dacia. You know, she just gets everybody fired up, and then all of a sudden they want to talk about pro wrestling a whole lot.
There's a lot of Wendy's bags being rustled in the background.
There really are. It's so many Wendy's bags right now.
So many Wendy's bags.
If you haven't seen the Wendy's picture.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen the Wendy's picture, go to the internet. The internet, where people like Dacia get made fun of sometimes. Back to what we were talking about here. A lot of other stuff, obviously, other than the MLS playoffs going on. And I want to kind of start with this because it's kind of a two-pronged thing. And coming off of article from Wrong Side of the Pond earlier today, the Dayton Dutch Lions to be shuttering their USL Pro franchise. Also, the Columbus Crew, not off of Wrong Side of the Pond, but I'm sure I know he touched on it in the article, the Columbus Crew to be moving their affiliation to Austin, Texas.
Yeehaw.
Which probably because of the cheap flights, I would guess. It's much cheaper to fly somebody from Austin to Columbus than it is to... no, it's not. No.
No.
That's not a real thing. But the Austin Aztecs getting promoted to USL Pro and from the PDL and now going to be the new affiliate of the Columbus Crew. I want to start with Justin on this one. Give me just kind of your, you know, I love... Whenever I start with Justin and I can tell that he's, like, thinking, but he hasn't completely formulated his thoughts, he gets the weirdest grimace on his face. So, Justin, give me your thoughts.
It's much better than having the horrifying Dayton Dutch Lions as our affiliate.
Yeah.
The people who killed Eddie Gavin.
Yeah.
I mean, they killed him.
Yeah.
It's really sad. Let's pour one out for Eddie. No, it's good. I guess the one thing, of course, is that it's far away.
Yeah.
But that hasn't stopped other teams in the past from doing very good jobs. I mean, the example, of course, is for this organization, it seems, as Sporting Kansas City. And for the longest time, they were – not the longest time, but the last couple of years, they've been affiliated with Orlando.
Yeah.
And now that Orlando is becoming an MLS team, we'll see where Kansas City's going. I think Austin has similar goals in mind. I think that they want to be very good so that they can get promoted, for lack of a better term, to MLS.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're affiliated with a team that has those kind of goals, and you know, I was reading how Kenny Dalglish's son is the head coach for Austin.
Hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
he's
so
also friends with Boy Hanker.
Oh, that makes sense, you know. So, I mean, they have... It seems like they have sort of similar goals, similar aims in terms of player development. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And that's what you're looking for, because if you're going to send your players somewhere, you want them to to be in a professional environment. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like Dayton was a professional environment.
No, I went to the yeah. matches at Dayton. It definitely seemed very, very semi-pro.
Right.
The entire time, and it seemed like an organization that was slapdash. And it seemed like that the entire time.
You wondered if they were doing the affiliation with Dayton just because they happened to be close.
I know that's why they did it.
There was a panic when they did it, like, because it happened right before the beginning of the season, and they had to have an affiliation, or MLS was going to fine them $20.
Mm. Yeah,
the whole $20.
Well, and
Clark Hunt's not going to pay.
Yeah,
that.
Clark Hunt is not paying $20 to anybody,
not unless he's getting something back.
Like at least some coffee or something.
Yeah.
The one thing that I want to kind of pose to you, and then I'll pose to the rest of the table. You know, there's a lot of USL pros. There's a lot of USL pro clubs that are closer. Pittsburgh Riverhounds, Indy 11, being kind of the two that are obviously the closest. If Dayton shutters their doors, is this move in you brought up the Eddie Gavin thing? Is this move so that we potentially don't have to face our own affiliate in the U.S. Open Cup? Not entirely, but I'm just saying, could that partially be a thought process behind it?
I don't think so.
I think it's a nice bonus, but I don't think it factored into the decision.
All right. Alex, it's like he has some very strong thoughts on this.
Well, one thing that I saw Wrong Side of the Pond tweet a while back is he had interviewed one of the Crew players who was on loan in Dayton, and they described the experience as hell, which is really strong language for a player to be using, even if it is off the record about something like that.
But you've been to Dayton before, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the city.
Their facilities are... Their facilities are essentially non-existent. I mean, they have very little in terms of infrastructure. They have very little in terms of anything.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I went to go see them play Wigan down there, and they were playing Wigan, and there were, like, 150 people there. I mean, it was not a good atmosphere for players. It was not... It didn't seem like it was a really good setup, and I'm glad they moved it. I do wish they would have moved it to a closer team. Pittsburgh, I was talking to Sam about this before the podcast started. Pittsburgh, to me, seemed like the best available option, if it was an option.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was or wasn't, but...
Does Pittsburgh have an affiliate right now?
I'm not sure.
No. I don't think so.
I thought Chicago was...
If they're already taken...
Maybe.
I think they might be affiliated with...
I know.
I'll look it up while you guys talk.
Yeah, do that.
Harrisburg's affiliated with Philadelphia, so it's not Philadelphia. But, I mean, I think that would have been a good option.
Yeah,
I think
Riverhounds. I mean, it's they're not a great team. I mean,
they have good facilities.
Well, no. I'm sorry. There was a second part of that that wasn't there wasn't
Houston.
A comment. Oh, Pittsburgh is affiliated with Houston.
Okay.
The one thing that I thought was kind of the natural, they're not a great team, but Indianapolis, and that's where I thought
the issue though is that they're NASL.
NASL.
Yeah.
Yes, they
are. No, you're right. I mean, that's
my bad. Yeah. No, I was.
That's the bizarre nature of soccer right now, though.
Yeah.
Is that there's these so-called minor league teams, although they're not. They're just
different levels, different leagues.
And so they're not a minor league team. Like a team like Indianapolis is not a minor league team.
Mm-hmm.
Like a team like Austin is.
Yeah.
And it's because of the relationship with Columbus now.
The whole affiliation thing is so weird for soccer. Really does. I mean, I get it for baseball. I get it for hockey to a lesser extent. Mm-hmm. But it's especially with soccer is. It's the nature of the beast with the way that this league was formed and the way that the other leagues were formed around it, or in the wake of it, I guess is the better way to say it.
Well, the new rumor too this week is kind of off topic, but sort of along the same lines is that Steven Gerrard is being looked at by the Cosmos.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, so that's.
You said a trigger word for
that
show.
Yeah, I mean that's probably not going to happen. But could you imagine if it did? Can you imagine
he won't.
Could you
imagine?
But they should just text it.
We're not inviting Liverpool fans to the Hendox.
But like
to the
a team like Indianapolis,
yeah,
could suddenly say like, you know what, we're going to invest a lot of money on bringing a big name player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and there would be nothing to stop them. Well, now, a team like Austin can't do that now.
Yeah,
because they're now affiliated with MLS.
Right.
Does I don't think they do. NASL doesn't have a salary cap, do they? Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Only MLS does.
Okay. I just want to make sure I was on the same page there, because I tend not to pay attention.
The thing about USL Pro is that you've got, I can't remember how many new teams are coming in, but we're looking at
like Seattle, five,
Sounders
six.
2,
six,
Portland
yeah.
2,
actually,
Toronto has a team.
Toronto has a team up. Now, Vancouver has a team now.
Montreal
has a team now. Essentially, it's becoming almost like MLS Reserve League.
It is.
So
it
we've
is.
Come
it's
around
exactly
full circle.
That's the whole point.
Right. We've come around to, right, and to bring back.
All right, here's what we've got. These are the clubs coming
like
in. Seattle Sounders 2, Portland yep. Timbers 2, FC Montreal, which is obviously Montreal 2.
It's actually called S2, isn't it?
L'Impact 2.
Isn't that what Seattle's calling it, S2?
S2, yeah, S2. Yes. Real Monarchs SLC. this is according to Wrong Side of the Pond. Toronto's still unnamed side,
yeah,
which is a really long team name, quite honestly. The Vancouver Whitecaps FC2, and then six new independently owned clubs. Austin Aztecs, promoted from PDL. Charlotte Independence, promoted from PDL. Colorado Springs Switchbacks.
Yeah, the Switchbacks.
Switchbacks.
Louisville City FC. St. Louis FC. And the Tulsa Roughnecks.
I like their name.
Yeah, I like that. I like that name. That's good.
The Roughnecks. Yeah.
The Roughnecks.
That's a good name. I don't know why Colorado Springs
should
go with like
they should moisturize
the mega churches or something like
that.
The
mega churches.
Well, that's all that's up there.
Yeah. If their necks are that rough, they should moisturize more.
Yes. Hey, do you know that if you spell Tulsa backwards? No, never mind.
Yeah, we should definitely not go there. So that's what we've got next year in USL Pro. But you look at these leagues. I mean, USL Pro not as much as PDL, but how many of these are? Hell, Dayton was a fly by night team with some money.
Yeah, they had two teams.
Yeah,
and all their money ran out because they couldn't manage it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they couldn't figure out how to play at a stadium that wasn't a high school football field. You know,
or that backed into a giant building.
Yeah, I mean those are huge things, and also that if you're from the Netherlands and you just throw a dart at a map of the United States, you should maybe Google the economy in Dayton before you start a team there, because
true,
holy crap.
Well, the problem is that if you Google the economy in Dayton, it says no results found.
Oh, man.
That is true.
Ouch. That is true. I'm sorry to have said that while you were drinking.
Hold on.
Wait for it.
Yeah. I know we bust on Dayton an awful lot, but the last time I was in Dayton, I drove through the city, the center of the city.
Uh-huh.
And you look at that city, and you see how all these empty buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all very nice buildings.
They are. Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what the hell is going on in this state? And this is my, it's too bad that Travis Irvine isn't on here right now.
Yeah.
Because he could answer this a lot better than I could. But, what the hell is going on in this state when a city like Dayton, which is a large city,
yeah,
is allowed to just wither like this?
Goop.
When there's a lot of potential, just sitting like an infrastructure potential in that city. And a team like, here's an organization from across from Europe. That's saying we're going to put a soccer team in Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah,
and it can't work because it has nothing really to do with the city.
Yeah,
or with the team.
Yeah,
as it does with just how we've allowed this city, this major city in our state, to be a disaster. It's an abject disaster. You look around and there's empty buildings. There's homeless people. There's people
there's
walking.
There's bears gentrifying neighborhoods. I mean, there are bears moving into houses and opening Thai restaurants.
That's awesome.
I mean, it's yeah, I just stole that line. I don't care.
So but. It is kind of sad. Like reading the Wrong Side of the Pond, reading the Wrong Side of the Pond article, he says it's kind of sad that we don't have a second team.
It's incredibly sad. And that's like, I bust on Dayton because I used to live there, but at the same time, that's what Dayton is. In Youngstown's the same way.
Yeah.
Youngstown's the exact same. I mean, it's much smaller.
Akron. When Bruce Springsteen writes a song about your city, you know you failed.
Yeah, that's true.
Toledo is a lot. I mean, some of these.
Toledo, it seemed, at least on the sports tick and not on everything else, seems to have at least gotten it right with the Walleye and the Mudhens at this point. But Dayton, they have the minor league ball team that's owned by the
Dragons.
Casino company. Yeah, the Dragons that are owned by
the Reds affiliate.
Yeah, they're the Reds affiliate, which makes sense. And they're also selling, you know, dirt cheap tickets, and they have
a fantastic facility.
They do. I've gotten a lot of free tickets to those games, you know, back in the day. But it's anything else in Dayton is way out in the middle of the suburbs or at a high school sporting event.
How many minor league hockey teams have they been through in the last 10 years? Serious question.
At least three.
At least.
Well, they have the Bombers, the Gems, and now the Demons, which are being rumored to be leaving as well. How many?
So three, possibly four.
Arena football teams is even worse. It's like 10.
My goodness.
It's like 10 in the last 10 years. You know, and so you know, you look at that sort of stuff, and it's concerning for that community. But it also is not where you want to put people that you're trying to develop into Columbus Crew players.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't.
And supposedly, according to Wrong Side of the Pond's article, too, is that the players coming back from Dayton expressed a lot of concerns about how things were run down there.
Yeah, that makes sense. It was mostly just shrieking and crying, just, and gnashing of teeth.
Well,
it just seems like Austin's a better fit. In many ways, the only thing that really truly troubles me about the Austin Aztecs is if they ever play against any Spanish players, they're going to get slaughtered.
It goes back to sort of what Klinsmann was talking about, and what he was roundly criticized for, was when he's talking about player development, and not just in terms of academy, but in terms of who you've got on the second level of your top league.
Yeah.
If you have let's say you have a legitimate second level that's competing with the top league to get into the top league, competing amongst themselves to get into the top league, then those players are going to have more challenges, and they're going to be treated more like a professional, professional or a top level player. You don't have that.
With a team
like Dayton, you don't have that with a lot of these teams. And it's a continuation of the failure of the academy program in MLS. This is what Jurgen Klinsmann's concerned with.
Yeah.
This is what MLS owners are fighting against, people knowing these things.
Yeah.
They would rather you not know and not consider those facts than to fix them. And that's, you know, now we have an ownership group that seems like they're willing to try.
Yeah.
Look, the Hunt family did not care.
No.
They did not care, and that's why we had an affiliation with Dayton.
Lamar cared, but the Hunt family did not.
Lamar's been gone for a long
time. Oh, no, I know. And I'm just...
I know. I mean, like, that's one of the things, though. It's like, you know... That was always the thing that was said. Was like, you know, Lamar gave a... He cared about Columbus. He did.
Yeah.
But he wasn't... You know, he passed away in 2007, 2006.
Yeah.
I mean...
I get where you're coming from. I'm not saying it to belittle what you're saying
at
all.
No, I know.
I'm saying that just in the sense of there, you know, just a distinguishing mark. That's all.
But it also goes into sort of like what another development that's happened over the last month with the Crew, which I think is a very important development that I think has been overlooked by a lot of people. The Crew went and they hired a fellow, and his name is Nico Esteves. And Nico Esteves is a coach who has a lot of experience. He's only 34, but he has a lot of experience in Spain. And they hired him to be the director of methodology.
Yes, methodology, yes.
Which is kind of an awkward title. But if you're familiar with the Spanish leagues, and you'll notice that is a title that is sort of sort of along the lines with technical director.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is what a person in that position is doing is trying to figure out the how do you move players within your organization? How do you develop those players within your organization? Mm-hmm. How do you maintain a level of competence and a standard?
Yeah.
From not just within the first team and not just within your reserves, but all up and down from the academy to the academy and youth programs.
And that's
this is something that we look. I know a lot of people have bought into this, that the Crew are good at academy programs, at the academy and at the youth level. And really, they're good for a handful of people. They've mm-hmm. been good over the years for a handful of kids.
Yeah.
And that has been sold like you would not believe. They will throw a will trap out, and they will throw these players out and say, look at what we've done. We've created these. But what they've actually done over the years is really do a disservice to a lot of kids. They've made people feel like they're just paying money to be a part of a rec program.
Mm-hmm.
And look, that was before. That was before the pre-court era. But that's the way that it was. And there's still a lot of those people who are running the academy, who were running it back then, who probably should not be there anymore. I mean, I'm probably going to get criticized for this, but there are some player people in there who just don't see the future of what youth development is. I think what it seems to me is that Berhalter identified that as a major problem within the organization.
Yeah.
And he went out and he found this Sevis guy. And he is, if you look at his pedigree, he coached last year Valencia.
Yeah.
He was their interim manager. He coached two games. He coached one game in the Copa del Rey, which he won. And he coached against Real Madrid.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the level that this guy was on, and now he has come back. Berhalter said,
but
come,
if there's going to
help me develop the academy program.
But from top to bottom, if there's going to be more consistency, that only bodes well for the Crew. And that only bodes well for the entire
Absolutely.
System as far as that goes. I completely agree with you. We're running up against time right now. We're going to talk a little bit about more about it after Greg talks. For a bit,
and yell at people.
Does things mostly. And yell at people. Yeah. That's pretty much all that's going to happen there. We'll be back in a few minutes. It's the Massive Report.
Sophomore year, you rushed for an average of 8 1/3 yards per carry. All eyes were on you, junior year. Your knee out of an out-of-town game. Nowhere to go but down, down, down. Nothing but the ground left for you to fall to. By July, you made a whole bunch of brand new friends. People you used to look down on, and you'd figured out way to make real money, giving ends to your friends, and it felt stupendous. Chrome spokes on your Japanese bike, but selling acid was a bad idea, and selling it to a cop was a worse one. The new laws said that 17-year-olds could do federal time. You were the first one, so I sing this song for you.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. No, of course, I'm not talking about Christmas. I'm talking about the annual Seattle Sounders playoff exit and all the delicious schadenfreude that results from the ensuing social media meltdown by fans and people who probably aren't fans by all rights. They just go to the game sometimes. But more on that in a minute. Welcome to Cards Against Insanity, the penultimate round of 2014. I did promise last week that this show would feature a retrospective of some of the highlights from this segment over the course of the year. Yeah, that's not happening, I'm afraid. And we can thank our good friends at AEP Ohio for literally keeping me in the dark today and preventing any kind of connectivity from happening. I will make it up to you next week, I promise. Fortunately, I'd taken enough notes in the last 6.5 days that I could build something resembling Cards Against Insanity, and it's coming out to right now. Opinions are mine and not those of the Massive Report or Columbus Crew SC or you, and I'm okay with that. Doesn't mean I like you any less. Before I begin, quick follow-up to last week's red card regarding Curt Schilling and the Twitter debate that got his ESPN colleague Keith Law suspended. Keith returned to social media after his suspension with a single tweet that read, "Eppur si muove," which, if you didn't know, is Italian for "and yet it moves." It's a quote attributed to Galileo,
when he was forced by the church to recant his claim that the earth revolved around the sun and not vice versa. Three words that said everything I couldn't even get out in 3 minutes. Journalistic brilliance, Keith, I salute you. It's all downhill from here, I'm afraid. Yellow card to professional piece of trash Jeff Rorda, the business manager for the St. Louis Police Officers Association. Yesterday in NFL action, the St. Louis Rams took on the Oakland Raiders for the Escape from L.A. trophy, and the Rams players Stedman Bailey, Tavon Austin, Chris Givens, Kenny Britt, and Jared Cook all walked out onto the field in the now well-known hands-up-don't-shoot pose in protest of last Monday's grand jury decision surrounding the shooting of Michael Brown in nearby Ferguson, Missouri. The Rams said they were unaware of the protest before it took place, and the NFL says they will not, in fact, discipline the players involved, which, given the NFL's track record this year, is honestly kind of surprising. But Rorda, speaking on behalf of the representative body for the St. Louis cops, who have just had way too much good publicity lately, put out a lengthy statement calling the protest tasteless, offensive, and inflammatory. He said he planned to speak to the NFL, going on to say that, quote, "Cops have First Amendment rights too, and we plan to exercise ours. I'd remind the NFL and their players that it is not the violent thugs burning down buildings that buy their advertisers' products. It's cops and the good people of St. Louis and other towns that do." So who is Jeff Rorda? Well, according to the St. Louis newspaper, the Riverfront Times, he's a former cop in nearby Arnold, Missouri, who was fired in 2001 for repeatedly falsifying reports and who is now pushing anti-police transparency agenda in the Missouri legislature. Two things. First of all, Jeff, know when to shut up. You're dealing with a PR nightmare already. You're the last person on earth who should be talking about people's rights when you swore to uphold justice and you were busted lying under oath. And what five football players do before a game ain't your damn business. And secondly, don't use the word thug. Just go all out and say the N-word, because that's what you really mean, right? On a related but somewhat lighter note, yellow card and social media snafu of the week to Peter King. He's the editor of Monday Morning Quarterback on SI.com, and within minutes of last Monday's grand jury announcement from Ferguson, King tweeted, quote, "This is the biggest indictment of all. The Jets' special teams are worse than their offense," end quote. Dude, phrasing. I know you were talking about football, but you got worse timing than the guy celebrating a touchdown by a guy on his fantasy team while at a funeral. You're an editor. You have a thesaurus in your brain. Use it. And completing the trifecta of NFL-related idiocy, yellow card, and the other social media fail this week to the Washington NFL team. What was last Thursday? Oh, that's right. It was Thanksgiving. And considering the history of the holiday and how it's a bit of a sore spot for Native Americans and how you've been in the news all year because your team name is a sore spot for Native Americans, maybe tweeting out a picture saying Happy Thanksgiving from the Redskins might not have been the smartest thing to do. This is one of those cases where it's better to keep your mouth shut and appear rude than open it and remove all doubt. Okay, back to soccer and I'll stay there, I promise. Yellow card and another social media what the hell was I thinking moment to Mario Balotelli. He posted a picture on Instagram, one of those funny memes we all love to chuckle at, referencing Super Mario, as in the Nintendo character, with the caption, "Jumps like a black man and grabs coins like a Jew." He later tweeted, "My mom is Jewish, so all of you shut up, please," but only after deleting the Instagram post after finding out that it missed its intended target about as much as, well, Mario Balotelli. Yellow card. Yellow card to Adrian, the Brazilian midfielder currently playing in England with Leeds United. During Saturday's match at home to Derby County, Adrian was barely clipped in a tackle from a Derby defender. And I guess the Leeds fans had been singing the theme to SpongeBob SquarePants at the time because he dropped on the deck and flopped like a fish for about 20 seconds. The sad part is that he's 20 years old, so the SpongeBob explanation is completely plausible. Yellow card to the Valencia fan who threw a water bottle at Lionel Messi in the aftermath of Barcelona's late winner in the match between the two sides yesterday. In the third minute of stoppage time, Sergio Busquets scored for the visitors to give Barca a 1-0 win, at which point the unnamed fan hurled the bottle from the stands, hitting Messi in the face. Fortunately, he wasn't hurt. Now, following last week's red wine incident between an Arsenal fan and Manchester United players, this is becoming a worrying trend. But the reason I find this one particularly egregious is that last year, during another Barcelona away match, a Villarreal fan threw a banana in the direction of Barca player Dani Alves. What I'm saying is that it would have been hilarious if a Valencia fan had thrown an orange instead of a water bottle. Valencia, orange. You missed a golden opportunity there, and your team lost because of it. Yellow card to the casting directors of Star Wars 7. What? How did this make it to my segment? Well, a story has emerged that former Arsenal and Crystal Palace striker Ian Wright auditioned for the role of a stormtrooper in the upcoming release and was turned down because at 5'9", casting told him he was too short. Really? More than 10 years ago, Hollywood was able to cast a 6'1" guy to play a dwarf in 3 Lord of the Rings movies, but we can't figure out how to work camera angles so a 5'9 guy looks convincing as a foot soldier of the Empire? Okay, fine. You want a taller soccer player? Mario Balotelli. He'd make a perfect stormtrooper. And if you need me to explain that joke, just never mind. Think about it. It'll sink in. There you go. There you go. And finally, red card to the Seattle Sounders fans. This is one we can all agree on. Finally, red carded Seattle Sounders fans responsible for hashtag Ziggy Out on Twitter last night in the wake of the Sounders playoff exit at the hands of the LA Galaxy by a score that I totally predicted. Have I mentioned that yet? It feels like something I should be mentioning. I don't know. This is a hashtag that goes back as far as I can tell, at least beyond last year, because I wasn't willing to scroll back any further, but reached critical mass last night when the tears of Sounders fans, who realized that they weren't getting an MLS Cup to go with their Supporters Shield and US Open Cup, started looking for a scapegoat. And that on its own is a huge part of the problem. Never mind that you have the MLS Defender of the Year, Chad Marshall, who not only had a great game, but a great season, far better than anyone in Columbus expected when we all thought he was washed up and wouldn't last 5 games before getting hurt. Never mind that Stephon Fry stood on his head and the only time he was beaten was on a pinpoint accurate long-range shot off the post. Never mind that you've made the playoffs every year of your existence, won the Open Cup the first 2 years, and are generally regarded as one of the most successful franchises in MLS, despite only existing for half as long as I've lived in the States. No, let's bitch and moan because for all you have won, you haven't won that one thing that, to be fair, we do love teasing you about. But that's the reason that we do. It's not like a Toronto FC thing where your owners have poured so much money into a club and don't even have a playoff appearance to show for it. It's not like a New York Red Bulls thing where the only time anyone remembers them making the final was against our team and we beat them. No, we make fun of Sounders fans because for all the success in this country, except for that one thing, just isn't good enough for you. It's like the car commercials where the woman runs out to the snow-covered driveway to find a brand new Lexus with heated seats and GPS and the parallel parks itself and then complaining that the tires have the wrong tread pattern. And that's exactly why we hate you. Because that's exactly what you sound like when you call for the head of the only coach you've ever had, who was responsible for the only history you've ever had, which is a whole lot of winning. The only 2 upgrades from Siggy you could possibly get in this league are Jason Kreis and maybe Bruce Arena, and you're not getting either one. So go ahead, SSFC, which I'm convinced stands for Silly Spoiled Something Children. I can't think of anything for the F. Tweet at me if you come up with something. Go ahead! Go ahead, fire Siggy and hire some second-rate nobody because you took a swing for a guy like Harry Redknapp or Gordon Strachan and whiffed. Hire someone who will give you 3 or 4 losing seasons behind the narrative of rebuilding. And let's see him.
Pracky.
Hire someone who will give you 3 or 4 losing seasons behind the narrative of rebuilding and see how many of you 1%er babies are left. It's exactly what you, your city, and your franchise deserve. Or better yet, just hire Robert Warzia because tradition. My name is Greg Benson. You can find me on Twitter as GregGulator614. Facebook is That One Guy Greg. And if you're at Hendog's Pub, you're in my seat. Play on, but remember, I'm watching you.
You know, I've seriously said this so many times, but especially after that, because I did not search any Siggy Out hashtags last night.
I died a little inside
because I was too busy laughing. But it is true, and I've said this a couple times in the show, and it's not original, but I don't care. The Sounders fan base was born on third base and thought they had a triple.
Yeah,
I mean that is just pure and utter. That's Seattle right there.
Yeah.
You know, okay, so yesterday I was listening to the best soccer show, the podcast.
You were listening to our show?
No.
I think it means the best soccer show with capital letters.
Yeah.
Oh, the show that calls themselves that. Okay, cool. Go ahead.
No, and they were in taking phone calls like they do sometimes, and there was a call from a guy who's, I can't remember his name, Kyle.
Was he a Gator fan?
No. But he started
one
out by saying...
One person gets the big trouble reference there. Anyway, go ahead.
But he started out saying like he was an Ohio guy, but like how they should, because of the way that the crowd was, that they should move the Mexico game to Seattle.
What?
Yeah, this is what this caller said on the show last night. He said he prefaced it by saying he was an Ohio guy. And then
correction was an Ohio guy. He's being deported tomorrow.
But one of the things that you notice when on that show is that when they announce guys, people who call in, they're like they say their area code. The guy's area code was from Idaho. And you know that like Seattle is pretty big in the northwest part of the country.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the kind of people that these are the this is a Seattle fan.
The Seattle Sounders and cattle raping are really the only two things going on in Idaho right now.
But see, that's what they do, right? They think, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, you know, we should move the Mexico game to Seattle. And then I'm going to preface it by saying I'm an Ohio guy because I'm a liar.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just basically what
to
they
be
are.
Fair, he could have been like a born and raised Ohio guy.
Oh, I'm
who
sure
moved
he was.
Out there or something.
Nobody
no, I mean,
moves to Idaho from Ohio
I'm
unless
sure
you're insane.
I do know one guy who is living in Boise now who I hung out with here in Columbus.
Yeah, was he
one
drunk
guy? I don't think it was him calling. Although it'd be hilarious if it was.
Yeah, I mean seriously.
No, I mean no.
Also nobody the changes their area just code when they move to Idaho. That's not a badge of honor.
We're not saying you all have to be like us. We're just saying, won't it be great when every place is like Seattle?
I just don't know how you guys can say with a straight face after watching the meticulous job that the Seattle grounds crew did on scraping their plastic grass that you wouldn't want U.S.-Mexico.
It's like
in Seattle.
It's like the shootout in the NHL. It's like the Zambonis just came in, didn't run any water, and just scraped enough.
The thing is, I didn't want to rant about the pitch because, like I said earlier in the show, it's low-hanging fruit. It's the plastic fruit that your grandma puts in the bowl on
pathetic.
The kitchen table.
But it is
low-hanging fruit.
It is a disgrace to this league, and I hope that Don Garber will say in his speech tomorrow that they are making another push to force teams to play on grass.
But
we're not going to see that.
We're not going to see that, and we can talk about that just with last
Atlanta.
Year. With Atlanta, but just from the Seattle perspective, a friend of the show, Johnny, who was actually on the show last year, who was from Seattle, who's a Crew fan, who was talking about the whole vote that went down to get that stadium built. And the whole vote that went down to get that stadium built was in and of itself that they needed to have multiple tenants. And the Seattle Sounders, the at that time unnamed Major League Soccer, blah, 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 was part of that. There's not going to be you're not going to get anything in the Seattle metro area. You're not going to get another stadium built.
I hope they stay in their stadium. I hope they love it.
Yeah,
good for you. You're the best. I hate it. You're the best
around.
There is a small part of me.
Keep you down.
Except
there
for LA.
There is a small part
except for
of
Columbus.
Me that
except for Portland.
Kind of, sort of wishes
Vancouver.
Well, that kind of sort of wishes that MLS Cup was being played on turf as that kind
no.
of no, no 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 let me explain why because
and then we'll all punch you go ahead
okay hear me out on this one because we all at this table and most of you listening right now know what an absolute disaster it would be and it would be that moment where
it was MLS Cup 09
I guess. Kind of sucked.
Yeah, it did suck.
But with that much of an audience, and you know that if it's in Seattle, there's going to be an enormous.
Did Toronto still have turf when they played the MLS Cup there?
I don't think they did.
I don't think they did.
I can't remember because I knew they started, but I can't. They started with turf at BMO, but I can't remember
that
when
was
2010. They.
Basically, to cut a long point short, is that it would be the moment that MLS would be like, whoa, what the hell just happened?
Yeah,
I don't
like
think
it would. It would kind of. You don't think that it would because we have zero confidence in MLS at this point. But any self-respecting human being would
like
look at
Star
that and go,
Wars,
this is kind of forcing our
of,
hand.
Well, this is like Star Wars, we can do a vote of zero confidence.
Yeah.
And then we just
haven't
get
we
to
already?
Take over.
I mean,
well, then we just get to take over the league.
I don't think it's self-respecting, fine. If you use that as a synonym for integrity, then
sure.
we're doomed.
Yeah.
I mean, look. Like I'm reading through some stuff right now, and you know tomorrow at 2:00 everyone should tune in for this. And if you can get questions in, then get questions in now.
Is that 2 o'clock in the afternoon?
It's 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern time.
Just, you know, people that have jobs.
Yeah, we're not going to be able to follow this, but
I'm off tomorrow.
Well, good. Tomorrow, Commissioner Don Garber is going to have his year-end State of the League event, 2 p.m. You can watch it live on MLS Soccer or MLS YouTube channel. Bell Sports 1 will not be carrying it. And you couldn't see it anyway.
Yeah, you're not cool enough.
Yeah, no one's cool enough. But
Bell's boycotting it the same way that ABC did the last presidential speech.
Yeah, but the people who are the reporters who are going to be involved in this round table.
Oh, Christ.
Are ESPN.com reporter Doug McIntyre, Fox Sports host Rob Stone,
good.
Univision Deportes broadcaster Jorge Perez Navarro.
Okay.
RDS broadcaster Patrick Leduc.
Okay.
And Sirius XM radio host and former MLS goalkeeper Tony Miola.
What?
What?
Wow.
I like Tony Miola.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
I picture his wife just like walking into his bedroom at like 11:30 and shaking him and being like, Tony, you have to wake up. And he's like, what? Tony, you have that thing with Don Garber. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
And just like throwing on a t-shirt and sweatpants. And walking out.
And goalkeeper gloves.
No, I'm picturing, I'm picturing goalkeeper gloves and parachute pants. And yes.
He gets his old kid out of the...
Oh, yeah, it's got to be the old, like, the Jorge Campos-style jerseys. Like, one of the really stupidly... the wild neon 90s stuff.
I'm ready for 90 Dawn.
So, any big revelations coming out of this, or is this just... This is just a wank fest.
This is all bluster.
It's a wank fest.
Yeah, it's a wank fest.
He's probably going to talk about how Jurgen Klinsmann should be focused on the same path or whatever.
Yeah,
that he was.
Get in line.
I'd be stunned if he mentions him by name.
There's going to be the over under on mentions of Atlanta and the new LA squad.
It's going to be sales
over under are 10 for the two teams coming in 2017, but the over under on NYCFC 2. Or NYCFC, I guess.
Yeah. Don't get too far ahead of yourself there.
And Orlando City.
USL Pro 2018.
Is 35.
Oh, that's going to be what they talk about.
Yeah. That's NYCFC. All they will talk about.
And the cup.
And maybe the cup.
See, I have a different
TV deal.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure he's going to talk up anything. I'm half expecting this. And I mean, it could go that way. But
he could just walk on stage and shit his pants. That could happen as well.
It would not surprise me if he started playing down everything that he had been talking up for the last year with the CBA right around the corner.
Yeah.
And started kind of being like,
he's not going to do that.
We've made progress, but we have a long way to go. And, you know, I'm wondering if this is kind of his way of trying to get the fans on his side ahead of these tough negotiations.
I'm sorry, have you seen Don Garber? Have you ever seen Don Garber? Does he ever play anything down ever? Other than Chivas, does he ever play anything down ever?
Toronto FC's consistent failure on every level.
No, he just quit dating Toronto FC. He started dating Seattle.
Well, look, I mean, he did an appearance on the halftime show of the.
I thought you were going to say Tonight Show.
No,
for like half a second there
of New York and New England, and this was minutes after it was announced that. They were changing the format for MLS Cup playoffs next year.
Yeah.
And they didn't ask him anything about that.
Of course not.
So I'm imagining that they'll probably ask him some things about that. Now, how does he talk about this? I don't know. I mean, look, his job is to sell the league.
Of course.
Period.
It is.
It's not to build the league. It's to sell the league. And it's not to be honest, so... I mean,
I think his job's to build the league too, but I think it's more of an immediate thing for him. I think he cares more about building the league over the short term rather than the medium or the long.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, you don't keep a second team in LA and you don't put a second team in New York and think that think that's building the league around the country.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because it's not. New York City FC, while, you know, they're probably going to have a fan base, they're probably going to be totally fine, as far as that goes, isn't building the geographical footprint of the league.
No.
And it's not taking the league where it isn't, where it isn't at currently.
Well, except in New York State.
L.A., well, that's true. But you can do that in Buffalo as well.
Yeah, I know. I had to think for a second. Wait, did they have a
Buffalo? But that's just based in chicken wings and disappointment, so you don't want to do Buffalo.
It's an interesting question. I mean, like, do you think he's building the league, or do you think that he's trying to make it appear...
Yeah.
It's trying to make it look like he's appearing to build the league.
I think he's building it. I think whenever you have so over the last 2 years with those with the expansion fee for LA 2 and the expansion fee for New York City FC, that's what $210 million.
Oh, monetarily, he's certainly building the pockets of the owners.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, but that money is then getting reinvested into the teams. I mean, not necessarily directly into the teams, but you're making a product that you can show to investors is a profitable thing, which the league has not always been profitable. I do think that I think what he's essentially trying to do is he's trying to fast track a history thing. You know, he's trying to make it look like we have rivalries and we have history. And so by putting teams in LA and in New York, you're trying to get legitimate rivalries. Because right now, I mean, the only one that MLS, their PR people at least, think of as legitimate is Seattle Portland
Cascadia.
And they want more than just the
one.
They don't
consider Vancouver. That's true. You know, Vancouver Portland. They don't consider a rivalry.
But because their atmosphere, guys. Yeah. It's the atmosphere.
I think what you just said though says that he's not trying to build a league. He's trying to make it look like the league exists. It's like why they say that Seattle has been around since 1974. It hasn't. But what they're trying to do is sell it to make it look like.
Yes.
They're trying to make it. You know, there's not a team being built. There's not a club, right? There's no clubs. But this is what they always say. There's clubs. There's a new club in New York that's going to be a rival for the new, you know, the Red Bulls. Well, there's no. It's they're purchasing one and they're putting it in there. It's the old chant, like built, not bought, right? It's like, what do you do? Are you building a local club? And you know, if we go back to what we were talking about, Nico Esteves, like, what are we? Why is that such an important addition to the Columbus Crew?
Yeah,
it's because here, finally, in year 16 of the Columbus Crew, we seem to have an owner and a manager and some front office people who are being allowed to build a local team.
Yeah.
For the first time, if you think about this is the first time that this has happened.
It's true.
And, you know, going out and finding a soccer guy of that caliber with that kind of knowledge who worked with a better academy in Spain, that's a big deal. And when he left, you know, he was a manager of the second division of the Valencia program. Mm-hmm. When he left, one of the things that I was reading through his farewell address, because when he got dismissed, he wanted to tell all the people who worked with him, how much they meant to him.
Yeah.
And so I read it in Spanish, and it's kind of iffy for me, but it seemed to me like what he was saying was that the people who built the academy in Valencia were the people that he wanted to thank the most.
Yeah.
He's like, you'll never know their names, but I want to thank them. And after he was let go, the fan base around that club, they wanted him to stay. They felt nothing but pride for him. And that's a good thing when you hear that. I mean, it reminds me, you know, I work with Gino Padula on his soccer academy. And it's one of the things it's the reason why I still work with him 5 years later.
Yeah.
Is that is his attitude too. And it's an attitude that is not... Like, you can say whatever you want about the American Academy and player development. It's screwed up. And part of the reason why it's screwed up is because the goal is making money.
Yeah.
Making money off these kids. And when you see players or people come from other places, like, you know, working with Gino, who grew up in the River Plate Academy.
Yeah.
It's not what it's about. Yeah, there's. You got to keep. It's a business. You got to keep things going.
Well, yeah, you got to keep the lights on.
Yeah, but there's a difference. It's making these players better.
Yeah.
Being better at soccer because you know that these are little individual human beings that you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And up until now, MLS has not. They haven't recognized this because it's not building something. It's maintaining the sort of.
Status quo.
Well, no, it's maintaining the illusion that they're building something. Yeah, what they're doing is just keeping people in jobs.
They're maintaining the fiefdom.
Yeah, the control. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I disagree.
I do want to say. You disagree?
Yeah. I think that.
Damn it! I was going to go to break. Go ahead.
I think that
quickly.
But yeah, I agree that in sports in general, you have a lot more losers than you have winners. But I think that the Crew are producing more winners than a lot of MLS teams are producing.
That's who you're comparing them to, other MLS teams. And you can't compare them to that.
Well,
you just can't.
I think the reason that you have to is because if you're talking about a team like Valencia, they have cultural differences that help them. Mm-hmm. There are kind of structural differences that help them, the fact that they've been around a lot longer. But also, you know, if you're a Spanish kid or if you're an Argentinian kid, the first thing you think about when you grow up, you know, if you're 5 years old, every kid wants to be, you know, a football star, you know, whereas a soccer star. Whereas here, you know, you have some people who want to play baseball, basketball, football. The percentage of kids who think that their end goal in life is that they want to be a professional soccer star is still very slim. But it's getting bigger because of this league, because of MLS. And I think if that continues, then eventually it will lead to, you know, the same sort of system that there is in Spain or in Germany or Italy or Argentina or Brazil or anywhere else.
All right, we're going to come back and we're going to continue to talk about this. You guys can continue to face off on this. And then we're going to talk a little MLS Cup, but I do want to take a quick break because Sam's wanting to stab my eyes out at this point. We'll be back in a second. This is the Massive Report.
Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are for the table. The many times we give and rhyme to our quite unseen able. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm.
To push the pram along.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Segment 4 of the Massive Reports. Alex, Justin, Greg, Sam, and myself in on the show. One thing I do want to plug real quick. The crew have plugged it a few times on their thing, and I think it's pretty awesome. There's a GoFundMe account right now going on for Lieutenant Stu Tudor, the firefighter who was struck by lightning before one of the crew matches this year. If you have any extra cash, it's a really good fund to donate to. The guy and his family have been going through a lot. We're going to talk about it a lot more next week, but please, if you have a couple extra bucks, even if it's just a dollar, the Crew Foundation is going to match. I think it was the first $10,000 in donations, and that's huge. The crew.com has all the information on it. So
I think it's just under $6,000 right now.
Yeah, it is. It is.
We have like a couple more weeks.
Yeah. So really, anybody who's got a couple extra bucks, you know, it's. Especially when the guy who is bringing in a lot of the cash for the family has something horrible like this happen. Mm-hmm. Even if, you know, whatever else is going on around it, it's horribly traumatic and it's horribly devastating for the family. And you know, we should definitely, as a community, rally and try to help that family out.
Absolutely.
That's my opinion on it.
I think that... The crew are kind of a family as well, and I think that when something bad happens to one of our family members, which unfortunately happens from time to time,
it does.
We rally together and we help them out when they need it. And so, yeah, absolutely. If you have a dollar, $2, or $5 or $10, you know, whatever you can give, you know, please consider giving that.
Yeah, I agree. So let's go back into what we were talking about before. Conversation Alex and Justin were having this about academies and. Go ahead, Justin.
Well, Alex and I have had this conversation for like the last 4 years.
this is a philosophical difference that goes pretty deep.
I don't think there's any real end to this conversation.
No. But it's a good conversation to have.
Yeah, it is a good conversation to have.
And it's the conversation that I think needs to happen. I hate that phrase, though. There should be a conversation about this. It's like, no, just talk, right?
Yeah.
But like, I think a lot of people want to talk about this. And it seems like when the subject comes up, it usually devolves into, no, you're wrong, nanny, 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 blah, 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 you smell kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be like that. I've noticed that happening a lot this past week with regards to, you know, the promotion relegation debate. There's a lot of room for really disrespectful and smart conversations to be had about these things, and... So that's why I like Alex.
Well, I mean,
because we're
in a young league. I mean, all things considered, MLS is still kind of a baby in the world of sports, and so, you know, there's always room for improvement. And I think that discussion on these things, you know, is always a good thing. So,
yeah. Yeah. Hey, Tony, will you unplug the goddamn Golden Tee machine? Seriously, it's been bugging me the entire show. It has seriously been bugging me the entire show. Anyway, continue, guys. Sorry.
No, that's it. That's good.
All right, cool. Yeah. So let's talk MLS Cup then. Is that where we're going with this?
Yeah, I think that's where we're...
Yeah.
Seattle's not in it!
Yeah.
I think the...
Tony Galifo is super excited about
it. I think the
that.
Question that was put to the panelists before the show went to air was, do we care?
Yeah. Well, let's start with that, and then we'll go from there, because... We're going to talk about it no matter what.
Well, sure.
But okay, Greg, do you care about MLS Cup?
I wouldn't have if Seattle had won last night. I'm sorry. There's no polite way to say that.
Yeah.
Seattle versus New England, I wouldn't have.
Well, Seattle did win.
Well, they did, yes. By a score of 2-1, and it's almost as if somebody guessed that.
Yeah. Like Justin?
That was the last time, I promise.
All right.
Last time.
Alex, you care.
I do care. Although I would have cared more had Seattle won, because I would have been the biggest Revs fan in the state of Ohio if that would have happened. But,
more than Christian Bolevska?
Yes.
Okay. That's fair. Justin?
Yeah, I'm going to watch it. I hope it's a good game.
Yeah.
I do hope that Robbie Rogers... Like I said, he's the one player in the whole thing that I'm rooting for. I hope he does well.
That's fair.
other than that, you know, we'll see how it goes.
All right.
It's well, let's interesting.
I'm rooting for the Galaxy for two reasons.
Okay.
I'll say this much. And it's got nothing to do with the Revs fans.
No.
Hear me out. It's got nothing to do with the Revs fans. Revs fans I'm okay with. The club I'm neutral on. Yeah, it's a football guy who's got a soccer team. It's kind of how Columbus started too. Can't really say much. The team has flopped and dived and worked the referees all the way through the playoffs. Not to mention the backroom shenanigans, and I love the fact that I get to use shenanigans on the podcast, that has Jermaine Jones in the team in the first place.
No.
I don't think that team gets past the first round without him.
It doesn't get into the playoffs.
Lee Wynn is a fantastic player, carries that team to the first round and no further.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're in it at all, I don't want to see all of these actions legitimized by New England winning the cup. On the flip side, if LA wins, Landon Donovan has no reason to change his mind and come back next year. So we are finally, you know, this whole played
he's
out kind of...
Like about 2 years from now, he's going to be like...
This whole played out retirement tour that he's been on all year.
Yeah.
If he goes out as a winner in his final game, and not only that, but I'd like to see him get an assist in the final so he breaks Cienfuegos' record of playoff assists and has won absolutely everything there is to be won in MLS, so he doesn't have anything left on his to-do list.
Yeah, well, no, there is one more thing. It's the Eastbound and Down selling used BMWs in Georgia. That's the only thing that Landon Donovan hasn't done at this point.
That doesn't
point.
Require coming back to
it
MLS.
It doesn't.
Though,
it doesn't. So I want to do this, because we're over on all of our other segments, unless anybody has any sort of real... MLS Cup talk that they want to do here. Justin.
Well, the one thing that's interesting about this, one of the things that's interesting about this is that, you know, New England is in what, I think their fifth MLS Cup?
Yeah.
I mean, LA is going for the fifth wish,
yeah.
Which would be the most by far, or not by far, but
by one over DC. Yeah.
I remember the last time that these two teams played each other in the MLS Cup was in Foxborough.
Mm-hmm.
And... are we getting caroled?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell's happening.
I thought it was the Sling Blade music.
I don't know.
Is
that what it is?
It is. It's the Sling Blade music.
I thought it was Christmas Carol music. But anyway, and LA won, beat them in Foxborough. I think it was 2004.
That seems about right.
I don't know. But there was a period of time where New England was the best team in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, they were the Buffalo Bills Eastern Conference.
Yeah, they went to three straight MLS Cups, lost them all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of which they lost in, at Crew Stadium, if I remember, in 2001 when it was played in Crew Stadium. I don't know, I can't remember that far.
Yeah. I'm old. 2001,
but,
who won that one?
So that's interesting that these two teams are original teams, and here they are, and... You know, the more things change, the more they stay the same, as they say.
I agree.
Yeah.
So, it is kind of the end of something.
Yeah.
The background music just adds to the somberness of the whole
thing. Kind of weird.
I'm gonna start crying in a second.
They're literally watching Sling Blade.
Are they watching
Sling Blade in the other room?
That's
weird.
They are.
Thanks, Willie.
So there's that.
Yeah.
We watched Lethal Weapon earlier. You guys missed out. Get here early, and you can
get
watch
here. Movie night at Hendox before...
Yeah, whatever's on USA Network is apparently whatever Willie puts on until until football starts. All right, so let's just do this and get it done with. Sam,
it was San Jose and LA in 2001 at Crew Stadium.
You're right. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, I remember that.
All right, Sam, MLS Cup playoff, MLS Cup playoff, MLS Cup prediction. I can't talk. Yeah, no. I just can't talk.
I would like to see the LA from the first Seattle game. And if we do get that LA, because I really like Bruce Arena, and I will gladly wear my LA Galaxy jersey that I've had since before.
I will
started,
fight you.
That I've had since before I started covering the crew. So I'm going to call LA 2-1, and the one, you know, I it sucks because I think Charlie Davies has had an incredible playoff
I hope he gets picked up by some European team so he doesn't stay in New England, so I don't have to hate him. But yeah, 2-1, and the one will be either scored by Charlie Davies or by Lee Wynn.
All right, Justin.
I think New England's going to win it. I think it's going to be 3-1.
All right, Alex.
2-1 to LA.
All right, Greg.
3-2 Galaxy, Donovan to Keane for the winner.
I'm going to say 2-1. Oh, it's the Galaxy. So we'll see what happens. Last show of the year. We're going to wrap it up next week. Right now, we're going to wrap this one up. For everybody who's been on the show tonight, all those folks, Greg Benson, Alex Static, Justin Bell, Sam Fahmy. My name is Matt Gosher. This has been another edition of the Massive Report. Seattle is an overrated dump with high taxes, high crime, and insane traffic. Not only that, but the people are self-absorbed and antisocial. Good night, everybody.